Thank you for joining us today. At Cross Church, we believe people need Jesus, people need each other, people change the world, and people leave legacies. Our desire is for you to understand, accept, and grow in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening. If you would like to know more about Cross Church, please visit crosschurch.com.
Well, good morning, Pinnacle Hills. It is great to be with you. It's been a great day in the Lord already. Been at our Springdale campus. We had our 9:30 service here as well. The Lord's moving, and I'm so excited that you are here at such a critical time in our year as we kick off everything. And I do hope I'll see you tonight. I'll be here first, best campus, first campus. You know what I'm saying? Just kidding. I'll be here. I'll be driving between the campuses. The helicopter's in the shop, and so just kidding. There's no helicopter. Never was a helicopter. But it would be cool, I gotta say. But I'll be driving between the campuses. I'll hit Pinnacle, then Springdale, then Fayetteville tonight. So I've got a short word for you in the midst of a lot of fun stuff. And so I hope you'll make plans to be there tonight. And then, as the video just said, Jennifer just said, next Sunday night at our Springdale campus, you're going to hear from my wife, ladies. Some of you know her. Some of you don't know her. Would encourage you ladies to sign up for that. Y'all are going to have a good time. She's really excited. The team's really excited. Going to be good. Okay? Going to be a great thing. If you got a Bible, let's grab it. Psalm chapter 23 is where we are. If you are brand new to our church, man, welcome. We're so glad that you are here. Let me tell you a little about what you walked into today. Every single week, we open up the Bible. We believe this is God's word to us, and we believe that Sunday mornings are not a time for me just to rattle off some opinions about life for you, from me, or from one of our other teaching pastors, but Sunday mornings are a time to hear from God himself. That's why we open up the Bible. And Psalm chapter 23 is a series we began last week, last Sunday, and we're continuing this Sunday and next Sunday. So 3 weeks in these six verses, and really excited about what God wants to say to your own heart today as we get started. As we pointed out last week, Psalm 23 may be the most famous chapter in all the Bible. I often say this about famous chapters or verses in the Bible. They're famous because they're awesome, okay? Like, you know them because they're awesome. Psalm 23 is no different. For thousands of years, people have found comfort in the words of Psalm 23. Some of you have them plastered in your, you know, a house somewhere on a wall. You've memorized these verses. These are familiar verses, and yet God can make them fresh to your heart today as he has to me. I'm going to read the whole chapter. Every one of these 3 weeks, we're going to read the whole chapter together, kind of see where we've been, where we're going. So let's begin right there in verse 1. If you don't have a Bible, we will put all these verses up on the screen, so don't worry, you will not be left out. The Bible says this, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." We covered both of those verses last week. Here's what we'll cover today. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Next week we'll cover these. You prepare a table before me. In the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We're spending 3 weeks or about 21 days on these six verses, something I'm doing in my own life you may find helpful as well. I'm reading Psalm 23 every single day in my time with the Lord. And here's what I did this morning. I found it very meaningful in my own life, just to put a present tense on what the Bible's speaking about here. Today I read it like this. Just put that word today in there again and again. Today, the Lord is my shepherd. Today, I shall not want. Today, he restores my soul. It just means so much when you read it like that. And I hope you'll join me on that journey for the next couple weeks here. King David wrote Psalm 23. He did not begin his life as a king. He began his life as a shepherd. The Bible tells us that David defended his sheep. He killed a lion, killed a bear. And so if there's anybody who knew what it meant to be a shepherd, it was this guy, King David. And he writes and he uses this illustration of God being a shepherd to us. Why? Because he knows what it is to be a shepherd. He knows what it is to protect the sheep, to lead the sheep, to feed the sheep, to lead them towards green pastures, to lead them in the midst of trouble to the still waters. And he just takes that picture through these six verses, and it's such a beautiful, heartwarming passage for our hearts today. And God can do what you need him to do in your life today. It's always good to know that, like going into the sermon, God can do what you need him to do today in your life. If you come in needy, you come in broken, you come in longing for God, God will meet you at the point of your need even today. So let's just begin right there in verse 3. We're just preaching this series verse by verse, even phrase by phrase here in these 3 weeks. So let's just begin with that first phrase. The Bible says this, he restores my soul. Now, some of you right off the bat, you hear that and you're like, Nick, I don't even really know what it means to restore my soul or that God would do that in my life. But all I know is this, it sure sounds good to me. And anybody resonate with that today? You walked in here and you're like, man, I just need a touch from God in my life today. The word restore in this passage brings the idea of coming back or of returning to God. Said very simply, it is the idea that God brings us back to where we need to be with him. Can I give you a little pastoral confession today? I have been at this point in my life, in my Christian life, a million times of God needing me to bring me back to where I need to be with him. Have you ever been there before? Maybe you're there right now and you're like, man, if I'm honest with you, Nick, I've just kind of been wandering. Or Nick, I'm kind of entangled in some sin right now and I'm not sure what to do. And you need God to restore you today, to bring you back to where you need to be with him. I don't know if you've ever walked into a church service and there's just a lot of chaos in your life, maybe heavy burdens, and you may be like, yeah, bro, it's like right now in this service, that's where I'm at. And I don't know if you've ever been in one of those services where you just walk in and from the first drum beat or note played on a guitar, it's as if every song was directed at you. It's as if the sermon is directed at you. I've literally had people tell me, it's like, Nick, there was a spotlight on my head, which some of us is harmful, you know, brings us sunburn and stuff. And I don't know if you've ever been in that kind of situation. Here's what I tell you. I do not have access to your text messages, and I don't know what's going on in your life, but Jesus the shepherd is. He knows what's going on in your life. And perhaps you've even felt that already through the music, through the worship. Maybe you've even felt that even in the intro to this message. And here's what I just want to encourage you with, man. It is grace that God is giving you today. And God can restore you from where you are back to where you need to be with him. You see, when God restores your soul, it's the idea of God reviving your heart, of bringing life back into your soul. You know, the big lie that we often believe is this, is that in order for me to feel better in my life, the circumstances in my life have to change. Every one of us buy that lie over and over again. Well, in order for me to feel better, things are the opposite. Man, they got to get better. In order for me to feel better about life, things in my family certainly got to shift. And can I just say that's a lie from the pit of hell? Psalm 23 provides us a better way, and God says it to us this way. It doesn't matter what you're walking through, the chaos, the struggle, the trial, the disease, whatever it may be, right there in the middle of it, God can restore your soul. He can take you to a place of green pastures and to a place of still waters. I told the Fayetteville congregation last week, there have been several times in the last few weeks where I've just gone to my porch and I've just said, God, I need you to take me to green pastures and to still waters. I've seen God meet me in that place again and again and again, and I just want to be honest with you, he can do the same for you. He'll give you peace. Said in the words of David, he can restore your soul. I wonder how many of you are here today who you really resonate with that even in the quietness of this moment, you just need to utter these words to God, Lord, I need that in my life. God, do that in me today. Lord, I need to be restored today through you. Would you do that in me? And man, he'll answer that prayer. Bible continues, he says this, he says, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So when God restores us, he leads us in the paths of righteousness. Anybody else find that interesting? He doesn't lead us away from a dependence upon him. He doesn't lead us on the pathway to wickedness. He leads us on the path to righteousness. I can say it to you this way. The fruit of having your soul restored is that you walk in the ways of God. So if you're here today and you're like, Nick, you know, I need God to do a restoration work in my own heart, I'd ask you this. You ready to be obedient? You ready to walk in the ways of God? Because restoration is always followed by obedience to the ways and to the commands of God. It's a natural progression towards righteousness when you experience that. And so here's a good way for you to look at it, okay? If, Jordan mentioned May 2nd when, you know, God really began to fall in our church. We've been in kind of a revival season since then. And maybe you would say to me, like, Nick, God's done a great work in my heart. And you know what I would encourage you to ask? If God has really done a great work in your heart, you know what will be the fruit of that great work? Righteousness. So are you more obedient August 22nd than you were May 1st? That's the real question. Even today, if you're here, and we have many people, every time you got to understand this, every time we have church, we have people who walk into these doors, they really don't know where they stand with God. They don't know the condition of their soul. So maybe you're here today and you're like that. And you're thinking to yourself, Nick, I don't know if I'm a Christian, not a Christian. I don't know if I'm saved or lost. Like, I don't know if that's ever happened in me. I've done some church stuff in the past. I come here regularly, but I really don't know that I've ever truly been saved. You know what I would say to you? In the vein of the book of 1 John, a small book towards the end of the Bible, here's what I tell you. Look at the pattern of your life. If the dominant habitual pattern of your life is sin, you have reason to question if you've ever really met Jesus. On the flip side of that, if you would say, Nick, I've not been perfect, and it's kind of been like a heart monitor, like I kind of go up and down, but man, I'm up and to the right, like I am progressing in my Christian life, then I would say this, you have good reason to think, well, maybe I've really met Jesus. So can you point back to a time when you would say, and from that point forward, everything changed in my life, and I got on the path of righteousness from that point forward? It's a great question for you to ask yourself even today. You know, one of the main jobs of a shepherd is to lead the sheep. I mean, you could boil down all the other things of feeding, of protecting, of all the other things, but the main job of the shepherd is to lead the sheep. You think about this in a spiritual context, one of the main responsibilities and roles that God the shepherd plays in your life is that of leadership. And so I'd ask you today, are you following the shepherd, or are you leading as your own shepherd? Like, are you following in his pathways behind his leading, or are you off on your own, wandering, and you found yourself not at green pastures and still waters, but a place of jagged rocks and some roaring rivers? That's a real question you got to answer today. Do you view yourself as the shepherd or as the sheep? Think about it this way. Remember elementary school? All of our kids started school the last couple weeks back together. And remember what it meant to be the line leader? Everybody wanted to be the line leader, right? And the teacher would divvy out responsibilities. And he's like, okay, maybe you certainly cannot be the line leader, but maybe this kid. And so the line leader like lines up when the teacher says, line up right by the water fountain and you stand real straight and everybody else is kicking one another, pulling hair, you know, all that kind of stuff as they get in line. I don't know about you, but I always wanted to be the line leader. I don't know what that says about me, like internally, but I didn't want to be the third kid in line. I wanted to be the first kid in line. You know what I'm saying? Why? Because I wanted to lead the show. I wanted to go through the cafeteria like a baller, right? I wanted to just lead my class wherever we would choose to go. Can I be real honest with you? My entire Christian life, I've been a believer for 20 plus years. My entire Christian life, I've struggled with wanting to be the line leader of my own life. Said in the realm of Psalm 23, I've always wanted to be the shepherd. And I constantly battle that of, okay, Jesus, today you're going to call the shots, you're going to lead me, and I'm going to follow in your path. 2 hours later, all right, Lord, I need to get into this situation, and I want to lead my own life. And I never lead myself anywhere good. I don't know about you. You know, one of the most important things you as a sheep can understand and me as a sheep can understand about God our shepherd, it's a truth you won't want to hear today, but you need to hear today. You don't know what's best for your life. You don't know what's best for your life. You may look at me and say, what are you talking about? I don't know what's best for my life. If you and I were able to choose the path for our life, we would never choose pain. Certainly never choose suffering. We would not choose anything difficult. No valleys, like let's stay in the clouds and the mountaintops, Lord. And if you're honest with yourself, as you look back at your life, some of the most times when you have grown exponentially spiritually have been the most difficult seasons of your life. or you wouldn't trade it if you could now. You don't know what's best for your life, but God the Shepherd does. And so a real question you got to answer just internally today is simply this: will I trust the leading of the Shepherd in my life? I have zero doubt there are hundreds of people in this room right now who you're at a situation in your life where like, well, I didn't want to be here. I can't believe my career has come to this. I can't believe my kid's doing that. I never thought my marriage would be like this. And yet God knows what you need. God knows what's coming 5 years from now that he's got 5 years to prepare you for. And ultimately, there's a place called heaven that ultimately he is preparing us for. We'll get to that next series, right? Do you trust the leading of the shepherd? I love the way that verse ends. It says, for his name's sake. So God restores us to put us on a path to righteousness for his name's sake. Can I tell you like a big biblical truth across the Bible? God will always protect his name. God will always honor his name. His reputation is on the line. He says, man, when I restore you, you walk in a path of righteousness for me, for my name, for my sake. You get to verse 4, and this is perhaps the most famous part in the entirety of the chapter here, this phrase, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. If you got your Bible in front of you, I want you to underline just two phrases. Underline, even though, and then underline the phrase, I will. I'll get to that in a few minutes, okay? Even though, I will. You ever wonder what it means to walk through the valley of the shadow of death? Like, what is King David really speaking about here? There's actually two beliefs on this. The first belief is that this is an actual place in Israel. And historians believe that this place where David would have been speaking about was called the Wadi Kelt. In Israel, that would have been known as just a dangerous stretch of land in a specific valley. In fact, when I have a friend who had gone to Israel not too long ago, and when he heard I was doing a series on Psalm 23, he sent me this picture. We'll throw it up here on the screen. He said, this is the actual valley of the shadow of death. This is where David would have written this passage. And that's where we got the look of this entire series, the logo from right there. So some people believe it's an actual place in Israel that would have been a dangerous stretch of territory in that land. Other people believe the Bible speaking more just symbolically here of trials in your life, difficulty in your life. When you walk through trouble in your life, God will be your shepherd. He's going to lead you forward. And if you've ever gone through a time when you're not sure you're going to make it, physically maybe, or even spiritually, I mean, I don't know if I'm going to come through this. That's what the Bible's talking about there, the valley of the shadow of death. You're not actually dying. You just feel like you're going to die. Interestingly, this phrase, the valley of the shadow of death, this idea is mentioned about 20 different times in the Old Testament, and it references intense darkness. You ever been in a place of intense darkness? I've been there. You say, well, Nick, what do you believe? I believe actually both are true. I believe this was an actual place that David was referencing with a dual meaning for the believers today that, man, when you're walking through a valley, God the shepherd will be with you. And here's the cool thing you got to understand. Jesus, our shepherd, doesn't just lead us to the valley. And he's like, all right, man, best of luck. I'm going to take the roundabout. I'll meet you on the other side. He leads us through the valley. You may have heard somebody say a phrase almost in a crass manner. Well, if you're going through hell, keep going, right? You ever heard anybody say that? Can I say it to you in Psalm 23 lingo? If you're going through a valley, and keep going. Just keep walking. I've got a friend who recently told me this phrase. He told me a couple times, mentioned it even to me on Thursday. He said, Nick, the clouds are always moving. In other words, he said, man, you're going to get through this. The clouds are always moving. In your life, the clouds are always moving. Man, you are walking through a valley. God will lead you through the valley. You say, well, why does God do this? Why does God take us through times of difficulty, times of suffering? I don't want to walk through a valley. I don't like the valley. I don't ever want to go in the valley again. I just got out of the valley. I'm going into a valley where I'm right in the middle of it. Why? Anybody there? Love what Greg Morse writes about this. He says, he leads towards things that make us more like him. Sometimes this means learning to rest in green pastures. At other times, this means the comfort of walking with him beside still waters. At other times, it means following him into the shadows. Anybody in the shadows today? The hope of Psalm 23 is that God not only uses good things like green pastures and still waters, God uses incredibly difficult things in your life. So can I just encourage somebody today, your pain's not going to be wasted. Your valley's not going to be wasted. If you'll lean into the Lord right now and lean into Jesus, your shepherd, he'll make you more like him as a result. David says, even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what does he say at the end? He says, I will fear no evil. He said, well, why does he say that? Keep reading in the passage. Why does David not fear? He says this about God, because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The presence of God is what gives you peace in your life. Do you realize that? We often think, well, if there's an absence of trouble, then I'll be at peace. Another lie. The presence of God is what brings you peace. The idea that God is with me. The word for rod here is a Hebrew word called shevet. It's the idea of protection for the sheep, and honestly, it was a rod maybe even used for the discipline of the sheep. All you animal lovers, I apologize for that, but it's probably true. And think about what David is telling us here with God as our shepherd. He's saying, in your life, God will be with you, and he, more than just being with you, he will protect you and he will guide you. He will lead you accordingly. So anybody in uncertainty today? Nick, I don't know what to do, man. I don't know what's next for our family. I don't know what's next with this kid. I don't know what's next in my career. I don't know what. Just got a lot of blanks and nothing to fill in, right? God will be with you. God will protect you. God will guide you. That's Psalm 23 right there. Old truths we hear yet again even today. Psalm 23, I often do this as we're studying the Word of God today. When you read a verse like we just read, here's the appropriate response. We all do that together. Just deep breath right now. Just kind of get away from all y'all right there. Psalm 23 is one of those passages that should make you just take a deep breath and say, okay, Lord, I received that yet again. What I do on Sunday mornings, people come up to me in the lobby after. I'll be out there after if you'd like to say hey. I'd love to say hey to you. People come up, oh, Pastor Nick, it was a great message today. You know what I often say to them? Man, we got a good book, don't we? Here's what I say. It's not that complicated. Like, literally every Sunday, I just open it up and I just say what it says. It's really that simple. And can I kind of take that to a level deeper for you today? You may realize this, you may not realize this. This is the mind games I'm doing on you, okay? 95% of what I tell you on a Sunday morning is not new information. You realize that? It's the same. And it was the same when you were a kid. And it was the same 1,000 years ago. Like, it just, you know what I'm saying? And I heard a pastor say this way. He said, you know what? We're going to come around to Christmas, and guess what? Virgin Mary had a baby again. We're going to get to Easter. Guess who got up from the grave again? You know what I'm saying? I mean, you realize that about our faith, that like we study the same book again and again and again, and yet God somehow supernaturally, through the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Word of God, speaks directly to your soul. The Bible says it cuts to the very division of soul and spirit, deeper than you can even understand. God cuts you. Can I remind you of one of the most central truths in the Bible? Like, if you're a follower of Jesus, I promise you, I could take every single person in this room, I could take those of you watching online and bring you through the lens into here, and I could put a microphone in your face and say, do you believe this truth? And you, every one of you would say, absolutely. And yet it's one that sometimes is really hard to practically play out. Can I just give you an old truth today? God is with you. Heard that a million times, anybody? There's nothing like when God touches your heart with that truth again, right? God's with you. In the midst of your battle, in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of all the stuff in your family, God is with you. And because of that, I will fear no evil. I don't know how many of you remember the 1992 Olympics. We just got done watching the Olympics, right? And my family just got into it. We loved all kinds of different sports that we were watching together. 1992 is probably the first Olympics I can remember watching as a child. And it was the year that the greatest basketball team that was ever assembled was put together. What were they called? The Dream Team. At Springdale, I tried to mention every person on the Dream Team. You want me to try again? Thank you, over there. We should be as passionate about the Word of God, okay? I'm just kidding over here. It's fine, okay. Michael Jordan, the GOAT, by the way. We can talk in the lobby about that. Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, John Stockton, Christian Leitner, Barkley, Magic, Bird, David Robinson, Patrick Ewing, Clyde Drexler. I'm forgetting somebody. Karl Malone, the mailman. That's pretty good though, right? Like decent. Okay. Anybody remember the name Derek Redmond from the 1992 Olympics? Derek Redmond was a part of one of the most famous Olympic moments in history. And thankfully, it was at a time in history where we had video cameras, okay? And Derek Redmond was lining up in the 400 meters, the semifinals of the 400 meter race. And he takes off, and about maybe a third of the way through, stops in agony, grabbing his hamstring. His hamstring had torn. And he begins to limp through the rest of the race. And if you remember, his father pushes past security and runs to help his son. If you've never seen the moment, you're in luck. Let's watch the screen.
Thank you.
If you need a picture of Psalm 23:4, there it is, right there. And you may have struggled through this of like, man, I know God's with me. Like, I know that in my heart of hearts, I know that. But man, it's sure hard to trust right now. And I hope that you will see God the Father, Jesus our shepherd, as a loving Father who's pushing past security and then telling him to just get out of the way. Didn't you love that part? I want you to see yourself in Derek Redmond today, that that's exactly what God does for you in life. He puts his arm around you when you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, and he just says, listen, we're going to get through this. We're walking together, and he shoos off the enemy. He shoos off people in your life. I told you I was going to come back to a phrase, even though I will. Read a book a couple months ago on Psalm 23, and the author just emphasized those two phrases. Even though I'm walking through whatever I'm walking through, I will not fear evil. Said in a different way, even though I'm walking through stuff at the office, stuff in my marriage, stuff with my kid, stuff in our family, stuff with COVID, stuff with whatever it may be, even though I'm walking through a place I don't want to walk through, I will trust the Lord. I wonder how many of you need to have just a personal altar moment with the Lord. Just a moment where you tell God in faith, Lord, even though I will, even though I'm walking places I never wanted to walk, never imagined I would walk, I'm there, and yet in that I will trust. You say, well, Nick, how do I know if that needs to happen in my life? Have you been overcome by fear the last week? Have you just been ripped apart by anxiety? Have you had moments of, man, I just don't think I'm ever going to make it through this? God's calling you to a moment of faith. You see, the good shepherd is right beside you. The good shepherd has his arm around you. But it doesn't help if you just don't look and see that he's there. You imagine Derek Redmond, if he had his head down the whole time, didn't know what arm was around him. But he looked and saw his father. You remember that moment when he saw his father, he just collapsed in his arms. Just a moment, we're going to close this service with just one final song. I wonder how many of you need to just line this altar, just a personal moment with the Lord. God, today, I'm just coming in faith. Lord, even though I'm walking through tragedy, I will trust the Lord. You may be here today, and you may think to yourself, Nick, I don't really know where I stand with God. You talk about the pattern of your life. You talk about a pattern of sin or a pattern of righteousness. But man, if I'm honest with myself, I think my whole life has really just been a pattern of sin. I've just kind of lived for myself, done whatever I wanted to do. What you need to understand is exactly what we talked about last week. Not only does the good shepherd comfort you at times in your life when you're walking through a valley, but Jesus, our shepherd, laid down his life for the sheep. All for moments like this, he came and he died on the cross, brutally killed, took your place on the cross, took my place on the cross, has given us and offered us forgiveness of sins, but you must receive what Christ has done. You must look to Christ today. So in just a moment, I'm going to have us bow our heads. In fact, why don't we just bow together right now? I'm going to have our staff, both the men and women of our staff, to make their way to the front, just kind of stretch out amongst these aisles. And today, if you're like, Nick, man, I know that I need Christ. There's no doubt about it. I'm just convinced the Holy Spirit is compelling me to give my life to Christ. In just a moment, would you find one of these men or women? There's people around you who will be so thrilled for you. You're not going to bug them by asking to get out of the aisle. But just say, excuse me, and you just come and just grab them by the hand. And all you got to say is this, man, I need Jesus. They'll lead you to faith in Christ in a very private moment. You're not coming up on stage. You're not going before the church to do anything. Like, you're just having a private moment with one of our staff. And we'd be honored and overjoyed to lead you to faith in Christ. There are others of you who you're already a follower of Christ, like I mentioned, but man, you're just coming to a personal even though I will moment with God. And you just want to let your knees hit this altar and say, Lord, as a family, even though we will, as just an individual, man or woman, young adult, teenager, Lord, even though I will, you just let your knees hit the floor at this altar today. Maybe you want one of our staff to pray over you, and we'd be honored to do that. But don't leave this place without responding to God. You may say, man, if I can just, he can just shut up, I'm almost out of here. What are you winning? When I didn't come here to make a decision. Well, you're making one now. Which decision are you going to make? Would you come or would you give your life to Christ today? Would you just take a step of faith as a follower of Jesus, whatever that looks like today in your life? Lord, we give these final moments of this service to you. We trust you by faith to compel people to obedience, whatever that looks like in their lives today. And we trust you by faith. It's in Jesus' name that we pray.
If you have questions about what you have heard or would like more information about your relationship with Jesus, please email us at info@crosschurch.com or visit our website at crosschurch.com. At Cross Church, our mission is to reach Northwest Arkansas, America, and the world for Jesus Christ.